And so it's good to have my friend and just I would consider a mentor, though that we haven't spent a ton of time together. He would come through and preach at the college there at Ambassador often, and his messages always made a huge impact upon me. Just in the area of missions, in the area of Christian living and surrender. And I just am so thankful God has allowed Brother Danny Whetstone, his Lord's servant, come and be with us all day today. And so we are focusing upon missions. And however the Lord leads Brother Whetstone in those messages, I just ask the Lord to put upon his heart that which we have most need of. And so we are going to be renewing our commitment to Faith Promise today, and also just asking the Lord to help us to do more than we've ever done before, not just financially, but surrendered in our hearts. And I read this quote by Henry Martin, who was a missionary to India and Persia, and he said this: "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become." And I believe that is true. And I believe the further we get, the closer we get to Christ, and the further we get away from ourselves, the more missionary we will be. And so today we have days like today where we just refocus and say, "Lord Jesus, draw us closer to Yourself, and help us to have more of a heart for reaching the world." I'll introduce Brother Whetstone more so this morning, give you some more information, but he is president of Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions. It's a mission board that I'm very familiar with, have a lot of respect for. God's using it. They're out of Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and it's a mission board similar to the ones we're used to, BIMI and Macedonia Baptist Missions and different ones of that nature. And so we're just grateful to have him here, and he'll be bringing the Sunday School Challenge. So, Brother Whetstone, you come and lay what God's put on your heart. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir. And it's a joy to be here with you in Sunday School this morning. I do have a wife, though she isn't with me today. If we make it until June, we've been married 49 years. We have four children, only 16 grandchildren, but maybe the Lord will help our kids do better. But she, as a matter of fact, she's being Nana today. She's taking care of five of our grandchildren, so their mom and dad can get away and breathe for a little while. And so she wasn't able to go with me last week to New Jersey and wasn't able to come with me today. But if I ever get back to her, she'll be traveling with me as she has for, 33 years now. But it is a joy to be here with you, and I trust the Lord will meet with us in a wonderful way. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans and chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. I spent 2 years in Grenada, West Indies, just kind of standing in the gap for a little while. And then we've been traveling for the mission for around 30 years now. And my wife and I will average going home about 50 days a year. We won't be home that much this year, nor will we be home that much next year. But in the past, we've come close to getting 50 days a year at home. So we have enjoyed the road and getting to meet a lot of believers and being in a lot of churches over these years. And we thank the Lord for that. I was a diesel mechanic when the Lord called me to preach in Tallahassee, Florida. And no one was more shocked than I was that he had called me. And I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "I think so." No, he didn't say, "I think so." He knew so. But back in high school, I reminded the Lord, I was in the FFA, and we had to give three-minute speeches. 3 minutes. I never, ever finished one. Now, the teacher wouldn't let you sit down. You had to stand up for 3 minutes. And so I would talk for maybe 30 or 40 seconds anybody can say something for 30 or 40 seconds. And then had to stand up in front of my classmates and just turn red for the rest of the time. And you hear the ding, then you could sit down. And I said, Lord, how in the world is this going to work? Now, I've been in some churches that would love to have a preacher like that. But I said, I'm not going to be able to explain anything, you know. And he said, well, we'll just worry about that later. And I pastored a church for 9 years that prayed I'd get that disease again. But it never did happen. How amazing the Lord is. You know, He knows already what He could do through you. He knows. You think, well, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do it. I'm going to tell you, you can do anything God wants you to do. Just yield to Him. And you can do anything He wants you to do. And I hope and pray that all of us want to do that. I want to be in the center of the Lord's will. As I said, I've been full-time with Worldwide for 33 years. But I would change that today if He would just tell me. And I don't have any worries about my wife at all. Three times she's sold everything we've had on earth and we've started all over again. We were coming home from Grenada, West Indies, and she said to me, you know, we don't have anything. Nothing. And I said, I understand. And she said, everyone that got married when we did 25 years ago, everything they have is paid for now. And I said, well, there's two things I want to remind you of. One, most of those who got married when we did are not married any longer. And two, if they did stay married, everything they have is worn out. Yours is going to be brand new. Amen? And so she would not hesitate a minute, selling a house and cars and packing up and moving. It wouldn't shake her one bit. And so we are available. If the Lord wants us to do something else, we are available. And you say, yeah, but do you have that much time left? I don't know. Do you? I mean, whether you're 18 or 68, we don't know how much time we have left, do we? And if the Lord will let me, I'd like to preach till I'm 100. Now, nobody might understand a word I'm saying, but we could say it's a foreign language. I'm just too old to talk. But I want to serve the Lord as long as He'll give me life. The kids ask me from time to time, Dad, when are you going to retire? I said, when I find something I love doing more than what I'm doing right now. I hadn't found that thing. And so we thank the Lord for the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me in Romans chapter number 10, beginning with verse number 9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, that's pretty certain, isn't it? If we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, He says, thou shalt be saved. He reverses the order in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm so glad that the Lord put salvation on a level that I could get to it. I believe anybody can be saved. I'm not even third cousin to a Calvinist. I have some Calvinist friends. I love them dearly. And I believe they love the Lord. I just believe they're wrong. I believe Jesus Christ died for every sinner. And I don't believe He's the kind of God that'll dangle something out in front of us pretending that we can reach it when He already knows it's impossible. I believe if He offers it to us, we have the ability to get to it. And so He says that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, He says, thou shalt be saved. He said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, confessing with his mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in his heart that God hath raised him from the dead, he says that individual, that person shall be saved. I was a 13-year-old boy sitting on the back pew of a little Baptist church in Panacea, Florida, when the Holy Spirit came by and touched my heart, convicted me of my sin, and I trusted Jesus Christ and was saved by his marvelous grace. Oh, if you've received that, isn't it wonderful? Oh, I want to go back to that place, and I want to remember what God did for me that day on a regular basis. I don't want to lose the thrill of being saved by the grace of God. Yes. I mean, that's a monumental experience in your life. You see, when you was born of your mother, you don't remember that. If you do, you're pretty weird. You don't remember that. But you do remember your birth in Christ. That had to be an exciting day. You know what my first thought was after I got saved? My first thought was, I wish everybody had this. Huh? And I believe we're born again with that attitude. I wish everyone had this. And then we hang around Baptist folk a while and that wears off. But it shouldn't. It should be maintained throughout our Christian experience until we go home to be with the Lord. We ought to want to see other people saved. My worst enemy, whoever he is or she is, I would that they would be saved by the grace of God. I want everybody to go to heaven. You know, the wonderful thing about grace is no matter how many dip into its well, it doesn't diminish any of it for me. Oh, the Lord doesn't walk around with grace in a thimble. Well, some of you might not know what a thimble is, but maybe he doesn't walk around with it in a communion cup. You might know what that is, you say. But no, God's grace is an ocean to swim in. There's plenty for everybody. Saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God seeks out sinners. He's looking for someone just like you. If you do not know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, he's looking for someone just like you. And he says that the salvation he offers us is sure. Shall be saved. I know, without any shadow of a doubt, that there's coming a day I'm going to heaven. I'll never go to hell. You say, well, what if you get out of sorts with the Lord? I might go to heaven sooner than I expected. But I'm going to heaven. How do I know that? Because in the mind of God, I'm already glorified. I've been called, I've been justified, I've been glorified, according to Romans chapter 8. All of them are spoken of in the past tense. God sees me glorified. I'm seen sitting together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now in the mind of God. No, I'm going to heaven. As sure as there is a heaven, I'm going to it. And I tell you, the further I go down this road, the more acquaintances and friends and family members I have on the other side and I do on this side. My daddy's been over since 1990. I led my dad to the Lord when he was 59 years old. And he was almost 71. And he went home to be with the Lord in January of 1990. He's over on the other side. I'll see him one day. My mom, she's only been gone for about 4.5 years now. But I'll see her on the other side. My brother, been gone for a long time. I'll see him on the other side. I've already outlived my brother. Lived more years than he lived. You say, well, will you know him? Well, of course I'll know him. Somebody asked Dr. John Rice one time, said, Dr. Rice, you think we'll know one another when we get to heaven? And if he knew him, you know, he'd look over his glasses like this. He said, you think we'll have less sense there than we do here? Amen. I believe more than that. I believe I'll know people I've never met. It seems to me that Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration and were not introduced. Could be that the moment I see Paul, I'll know him. Won't that be something? People that your missionaries have led to the Lord, you'll get to meet them one of these days. Yeah. Even if you don't get to visit the countries where they are, you'll get to meet them one of these days in heaven. Oh, what a wonderful time. That's going to be... Hey, we're only going to heaven. Amen? Ain't nothing to get excited about. We're only going to heaven. Oh, my soul on earth. Do you see the average Christian today? Where are you going, church? You got the victory?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. You can see the same rascal 2 days later with a spring in his step on his way to a ball game. My soul, we're only going to heaven. Doesn't matter who wins the ball game, I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter who loses the ball game, I'm going to heaven. Yeah. I watched a little boxing last night. You ought not watch boxing. It's brutal. And to tell you the truth, I watch boxing, I want to see somebody get knocked out. Isn't that awful? Terrible. Well, that's what I'm looking for. You say, who's your favorite boxer? I don't even know who they are. I'm just looking for a knockout. NASCAR. I won't watch NASCAR because I know the drivers. I don't know who any of them are. I want to see a wreck. Hey, amen. That car jump up in the air and roll over a few times, burst into flames, crash down, and the fellow gets out and walks off. You can be riding down the highway and see somebody with a fender bender and they've got ambulances hauling everybody to the hospital. I don't know how they do that. I just watch it to see a wreck. But hey, we're not racing NASCAR. We're not in a boxing match. We're going to heaven. Oh, don't care how it turns out here on earth. We're going to heaven. You know, what if Iran goes crazy and starts sending off missiles? Going to heaven. Yeah. We need to read more Bible and watch less news. I only watch news because I don't believe them. And I want to see what I don't believe. I don't trust those rascals. I don't care who they are. I don't trust them. I've been to Iraq. Some of the most wonderful people I've ever met are believers in Iraq and Jordan. By and large, Arabic people are hospitable. I went into a lady's home. She was the mother-in-law of a guy who was there to visit. And the second time I went to her home, she was a short lady. If you're shorter than me, you're short. And she was a short lady, and she taught English. So she could speak English very well. And she put her hands up on my chest, and she said, Brother Whetstone, if you held in your hand the title deed to my house, it would be no more yours than it is right now. And, wonderful food, just wonderful food. So when I listen to the news, I listen for what I don't believe. If they say it, it must not be true. I believe CNN will survive in the tribulation period. I just don't believe them. But I believe this. I believe that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I believe I can be saved. I believe whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that? Yeah, I do too. So, what we have to do is get to these whosoevers and share with them the gospel. They tell me that there's some 7.5 billion people in the world today. More than likely, 2/3 of that population has never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a microcosm of that. There is a place called the Jawadi Hills in the southern part of India. In the Jawadi Hills, there are 1,700 villages. 70 of those villages have had the gospel introduced to them. The others, no one's ever been to. Imagine that. One spot on this globe where more than 1,600 out of 1,700 villages have never one time even had a gospel tract handed to them, have never been witnessed to, will be born, will live a lifetime, will die, and will go to hell, having never heard the clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. That's true all over the world. I'm going to tell you something about those people, too, all over the world. If you could meet them, you'd love them. If you could meet them, you'd want them to be saved. You see. But here is a greater dilemma. We have these two groups of people. We have the whosoevers, and we have the believers. Everyone is a whosoever. Amen? Amen. They have the potential of becoming believers as we have. Amen? Amen. But notice this, verse number 14 of Romans 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So there's not just whosoevers and there's not just believers. There's also a family called they. You say, well, Brother Whetstone, you just got through saying everyone's a whosoever. Yes, but what value is there in being a whosoever if you don't know it? What if no one ever tells you you're a whosoever? That they man can go out and he can look at the ocean and say, there must be a God. That they man might look up into the night and see a myriad of stars and say, there is a God. But who is he? Those 1,600 plus villages in the Jawadi Hills, all of them, every single one of them have a God. Riding up the Jawadi Hills, they called it a road, but I would beg to differ. The only difference in the road and what is beside the road is the absence of trees. Rocks, creeks, all kinds of things that you go through. Dust pouring up through the floor of the car because a lot of it's rusted out. As you go up the Jawadi Hills, up this what they call a road, there will be intersections where trails will cut across that road. And at each of those intersections, over to the side will be a shelter, maybe 2.5-3 feet tall. And under that shelter will be a row of images. Those images, each one is a god of some village that's down that trail. Every one of those gods have something in common. Some of them are stone, some are wood, various and sundry shapes and sizes, but there's one thing consistent about all of them. They're angry. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to make my own God, he's going to smile. I'd make him a bobblehead. He's only bobbed in this direction. And if I wanted something, I'd put him on the dash of my car and drive him down a bumpy road. And I'd say, can I have so-and-so? And he'd say, if you're going to make your own God, why make him mad at you? Unless every sinner is born with the knowledge that there is a God. And he's not pleased with the way we're living. I believe everyone is born with a knowledge of God. Why do I believe that? Because John said, He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You have to go to a university in America to become an atheist. Somebody has to teach you to be an atheist because you're born with a knowledge that there is a God. Otherwise, how did all these people dream up those gods? The problem is, they don't know who the true and living God is. So, in a sense, they already have a religious nature. They're bent in that direction. You read in the scripture, Paul preached in the synagogues. Why did he go to the synagogues? That was a dispensation back. Why is he going to the synagogues? Because when he went to the synagogue, he had the attention of those that had more of a mind toward God. And even Gentiles were allowed to come to the synagogue. They had to sit in the back, but they could come. But it would be Gentiles that had some understanding there is a God. And so he went to the richest, most fertile soil that he could find in any given city. When he went to Philippi, there was no synagogue. Took him a little longer to find some folks. But the next place he went to was Thessalonica, and in four Sabbath days he started a church. Preached four Sabbath days in the synagogue and had enough people saved that they could start a church, and he went on down the road to Berea. Oh, they're out there. And they know there is a God, unless they've been to a university somewhere and some real intelligent professor who has so long denied God that he's been turned over to a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1. Ignored God. Made him birds and creatures, four-footed beasts. Because he refused to acknowledge God. God turned them over to a reprobate mind. But you were born. And before your mom and dad ever told you, Jesus had somehow sent light to your consciousness that there's someone beyond me. There's something bigger than I am. I know who that someone is. You know who that someone is. But I'm telling you this morning, most of the world does not know. I've not been to the whole world, but I've preached in 55 countries, been to a few more than that. But unless there's some out there that are different than all those that I have been to, I'm telling you, people have a knowledge of God. You see evidence of it everywhere. What we want to do is take that knowledge and point it in the right direction, and that is to Jesus Christ. So, what are we going to do? Oh, wow. Time's gone. I might just have to mention this and maybe just take it up in church service and we'll move on forward. But let me give you, in Sunday school, if we decide to go that route, what we will do. How are we going to bridge the gap from they to whosoever? Because one thing is for certain, we'll never bridge the gap from whosoever to believer if we don't first bridge the gap from they to whosoever. So how do we do that? Well, fortunately, God told us. Look at it, if you would, please. In Romans chapter 10, let's go back to verse 14 again. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So the first thing we need are preachers. I would prefer to say proclaimers. I don't believe that this word preacher is talking about pulpit ministry. I think it's more general. I think it's talking about people who proclaim this whosoever gospel. You say, men, women, everybody can participate in this. You say, well, the Lord's never called me to a ministry. But according to 2 Corinthians 5, He's given you one. The moment you got saved, God gave you the ministry of reconciliation. See? And I think when we get saved, we know that. It just takes us a while and then we keep pushing it in the background, and we cover it up with ball gloves and ball bats and golf clubs and fishing rods and guns. And you're welcome. And we kind of bury it beneath the things of life. Did you know that sometimes God says no to good things? On Paul's second missionary journey, he wanted to go, I think, to Ephesus. I know for sure he wanted to stay in Asia Minor. And he tried several different places, and every place he tried, God said no. Finally, he said, well, we'll just hunker down. Got to know the Greek to know that word, hunker. He said, we'll just hunker down and preach right here. The Holy Spirit said, no, you won't. Just because it isn't sin doesn't mean the Lord wants you to do it. See, sometimes God says no to good things. So what do we need? We need proclaimers. We need people just like you. Hey, listen to me. It takes more than missionaries to fulfill the Great Commission. It takes more than missionaries to fulfill the Great Commission. You are a huge part of fulfilling the Great Commission. We spread the gospel to those that are around us. We invite them to church. We give them gospel tracts. We live a testimony before them. But then, not only do we need proclaimers of the gospel, but look at verse number 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? So we need goers and we need givers. You say, well, Brother Whetstone, how do you determine which one you are? Yes. Yes, we're all both. We all go. And we all give. Every one of us get to participate. No one is left out. If you grew up, you had ball games or whatever, and you chose up teams, were you the last one? If it involves speed at all, I don't know. I think sometimes they just let me keep score. When I'm running full out, it's kind of like pouring molasses in February. I make more noise than I do speed. But hey, in the gospel ministry, all of us have a place. All of us are chosen by God to participate in this wonderful, wonderful task of telling people they can go to heaven if they want to. Hey, listen to this. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's talking about the second death. That's talking about hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hey, you have to work to go to heaven, to hell. But heaven is a free gift. You got to get out there, and I mean bust it hard to get to go to hell. You got to live a separated life from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's willing to give us the free gift. He paid the full price. He didn't just pay the down payment and say, you got to pay the rest. He paid the full price of our redemption. We get to go to heaven. And that is the story. We get to go and tell everybody in the whole wide world that Jesus Christ saves from sin. Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll take it up from there in the church service this morning. It's good to kind of break the ice and get to know you a little bit. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for your love and grace to us. Pray that you would bless, Lord, your word, these few thoughts. And I pray in the church service today that everything would redound to your glory and that we would leave this place saying, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And for all that you do, I'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.